All right, let's jump right in. Today we're doing a deep dive into something that might sound a little dry at first, arbitrator disclosures. But stick with us, because it's way more interesting than you think, especially if you ever find yourself in an arbitration, which, let's face it, could happen to anyone. We've got some excerpts from this legal text on best practices, and let me tell you, it gets pretty intense.
Oh, absolutely. It really highlights how important these disclosures are if you want a fair arbitration process.
Yeah, the text lays out this, like, golden rule. Arbitrators have to disclose any potential conflicts of interest. And we're not just talking about the obvious stuff. Even if they think something might be relevant, they got to put it out there.
Right, even if it seems small or like it wouldn't matter.
Transparency is key, right? Got to keep everything above board.
Exactly. And the text actually gives some really helpful examples. Like, let's say the arbitrator mentions they know some of the lawyers involved.
Yeah, I mean, that's bound to happen, right? The legal world's pretty small.
True, but the text digs deeper. It asks, how well do they actually know them? Did they just meet briefly at a conference, or were they, like, fierce opponents in some big case a few years back?
Oh, I see what you mean. So it's not enough to just say, oh, yeah, I know that lawyer. You need to know the nature of the relationship to understand if it could affect the case.
Exactly. That kind of detail can make all the difference.
So even a seemingly harmless connection could be a red flag.
Right. And then it gets even trickier when you factor in the arbitrator's firm. What if their whole firm has worked with one of the parties before?
I hadn't really thought about that.
The text points out that even that kind of distant connection could be a conflict, especially if it was a major case, or if the arbitrator themselves was involved.
Wow. So even if the arbitrator wasn't directly working on it, their firm's history could still be a problem.
It sure could. And get this, the text even mentions that firm mergers have to be disclosed.
Firm mergers? What do those have to do with anything?
Well, think about it. Two firms merge, and all of a sudden, there's this huge network of past relationships that could potentially influence the arbitrator.
That does make things pretty complicated, especially if you're the one trying to figure out if an arbitrator is impartial.
Yeah, that's a legitimate concern. That's why the whole system needs to be really airtight.
Because you might think you found an impartial arbitrator, and then something comes up later that throws everything off.
You hit the nail on the head. That's why the text emphasizes that disclosures aren't just a one-time thing. It's about continuous disclosure.
Oh, interesting. So you don't just disclose everything at the beginning and then you're done.
Nope. New information can pop up throughout the case, like maybe a new witness comes forward or the legal teams change.
And each of those changes means a new round of disclosures.
You got it. According to the text, it's all about making sure you, as someone involved in the arbitration, always have the most up-to-date information.
So you can spot any potential conflicts as they arise.
Exactly. That kind of constant vigilance is so important for protecting the integrity of the whole process.
It definitely makes sense. It seems like the text is really pushing for this idea of transparency. Not just for legal reasons, but to make sure people actually trust the system.
Right, because if people start losing faith in the impartiality of arbitrators, the whole thing falls apart.
Okay, so disclosures are a big deal. We've established that.
Yeah.
But the text also mentions that these principles apply to both formal and private arbitrations. Doesn't that kind of raise some questions?
It definitely does. If you're in a more informal setting, who decides whether an objection to an arbitrator is valid? The text doesn't really get into that.
Yeah.
Definitely something to keep in mind if you're dealing with different types of arbitration.
It adds a whole other layer of complexity.
It does. You know, we've been focusing on why disclosures are so important, but the how is equally important. How much detail do these disclosures need? What format should they take?
Those are good questions.
Because if we're talking about transparency, those details really matter.
Well, the good news is the text does give some specifics about how to handle these disclosures.
It does, and it gets surprisingly detailed. For example, it explicitly recommends that all disclosures should be in writing.
Oh, interesting. So no quick phone calls or casual conversations.
Not according to best practices. The text really emphasizes having a clear written record, something everyone involved can access. And it even gives guidance on what to do if a potential conflict pops up during a hearing.
Oh, like if they suddenly realize they went to law school with the opposing counsel's cousin or something.
Yeah, exactly like that. Some random connection they hadn't thought of before.
What does the text say about that?
Well, it's pretty straightforward, actually. They have to stop the hearing right then and there. Immediately contact the organization that's running the arbitration and submit a formal written disclosure.
Wow. No messing around.
Nope. No exceptions.
That really shows how seriously they take this whole disclosure thing, huh?
It really does. It's all about making sure that everyone involved in the arbitration has all the same information.
No secrets, no surprises.
Exactly. It reinforces the idea that the process is fair and impartial. Everyone's playing by the same rules.
I'm starting to see how these disclosures can really build trust in the whole system. It's not just a box to check off. It's a way to demonstrate that everyone's committed to transparency.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's like the arbitrator is saying, hey, I'm not hiding anything. I want you to feel confident that this process is legitimate.
That can make a big difference for someone who's already going through a dispute. Knowing that everything is above board, it can give them a sense of control and reassurance.
Absolutely. It allows them to participate more fully, knowing that the playing field is level.
All this talk about transparency is great, but I have to admit, I'm starting to wonder where the line is. Could there be a point where too much disclosure actually makes things less clear, especially for the person trying to understand what's going on?
That's a great question, and it's something the text touches on, this idea of full and complete disclosure. But how much is too much? Imagine being bombarded with pages and pages of disclosures. Some of them might seem completely irrelevant.
Right, it could just create more confusion. Instead of clarifying things, it could make it harder to see the big picture.
Exactly. You might miss the forest for the trees.
So how do you find that balance? How do you ensure transparency without overwhelming people with information?
That's where the judgment of the arbitrator comes in. They need to be able to look at all the potential conflicts and decide what's truly relevant.
It's like being a detective, right?
Yeah.
Trying to piece together the clues to see if anything could raise questions about their impartiality.
That's a great analogy. And it's not just the arbitrator's responsibility. The organizations that manage arbitrations also play a role. They review and assess the disclosures, too.
So it's a system of checks and balances to make sure everything is as fair and transparent as possible.
That's the idea, at least. Of course, no system is perfect, and there's always room for improvement.
But it sounds like these disclosure practices are a step in the right direction. They're helping to build trust in the process, which is essential for arbitration to be successful in the long run.
I completely agree. These disclosures aren't just about protecting the individual parties in a case. They're about safeguarding the whole system of arbitration.
Because if people lose faith in this system, they won't use it.
Exactly. And that would be a shame, because arbitration can be a really valuable way to resolve disputes fairly and efficiently.
It's amazing how these seemingly small details, like disclosures, can have such a big impact.
It really goes to show that even in complex legal systems, the little things matter.
We've covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah.
I think we've done a good job explaining the ins and outs of arbitrator disclosures.
It's been a great discussion. Hopefully our listeners are starting to see why this topic is so important, especially if they ever find themselves in an arbitration.
Speaking of our listeners, what's the one thing you want them to take away from this deep dive? What's the key message?
I think the biggest takeaway is that these disclosures are not just some, like, legal technicality. They're really crucial for the whole arbitration process to work properly. When they're done right, they actually make people trust the system more.
So it's about more than just protecting yourself in one specific case. It's about making sure the system is fair for everyone.
Exactly. And that's why everyone involved, arbitrators, lawyers, even the people in the arbitration, they all need to take these disclosures seriously.
Yeah, because if the process seems biased or unfair, people will just stop using it.
Exactly. You know, we've talked about full and complete disclosure, but there's another side to this that I think is worth thinking about.
Oh, I'm all ears.
What happens when transparency runs up against confidentiality? Arbitration often deals with really sensitive information, right? And sometimes an arbitrator might be bound by confidentiality agreements from past cases.
That makes sense.
So how do you balance the need for transparency with the need to protect confidential information?
That's a really good point. Could an arbitrator actually be blocked from disclosing something because of a confidentiality agreement?
It's a tricky situation for sure. Even legal experts are still debating this. It just goes to show that even with the best intentions, these disclosure practices can be tough to implement.
It's like walking a tightrope, trying to find that balance between being open and keeping things confidential.
Exactly. And it highlights the need for continued discussion and improvement as the world of arbitration changes and evolves.
Well, I think we've really gone deep on this today. Arbitrator disclosures are a lot more complex than I realized at first.
I agree. It might seem like a dry topic, but once you start digging in, you see how important it is for fairness and justice.
Absolutely. We've covered so much, from the importance of ongoing disclosure to the challenges of balancing transparency with confidentiality. Hopefully our listeners now have a better understanding of why these disclosures matter and how they contribute to a more fair and equitable system.
I hope so too. And remember, knowledge is power. The more you know about how arbitration works, the better you can protect yourself and make sure you get a fair outcome.
Well said. And on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive. A huge thank you to our expert for explaining all this to us.
It was my pleasure.
And to all our listeners out there, keep those minds curious, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.